Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Friday. Can you believe it's already Friday, October 6th, 2017? So glad you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. 94.5 FM. It feels like Christmas Eve for many Michigan State and Michigan fans out there, because many have been awaiting this game for quite some time. We have been previewing all week here on WKAR's Current Sports the big rivalry matchup, as the Spartans and Wolverines will get it on out in A Squared for the first time ever under the lights. How about that? It's going to be a fun game tomorrow. Many predictions and a lot of trash talk has ensued throughout the week. We, again, will give you our final preview of the big game. The undefeated Wolverines at 4-0, Michigan State sitting at 3-1. And we will welcome to the show two of our dear friends, former Michigan State safety Otis Wiley and former University of Michigan linebacker Alan Gantz will join us at the same time around the 1:15 mark. And we're going to have both Wiley and Gantz talk some trash and then break down what they believe will happen tomorrow on the gridiron. Trust, you do not want to miss it. Also, this is a local story that has been getting a ton of attention. The Lansing Catholic football team. Yeah, they're in the news right now because four players for the Cougar squad have been benched for planning to kneel during the national anthem. Of course, we've been profiling what has been taking place in the National Football League as numerous players from many different teams have decided to take a knee, to stand up for police brutality, racial inequality here in America. And it's had a profound impact on many Americans throughout this great country, even at the youth sports level, which we're seeing right now here in mid-Michigan, happen right now in mid-Michigan, particularly here when it comes to the Lansing Catholic football team. So we'll tell you who the players are that will be benched for Lansing Catholic's game tonight, home game against Ionia. And we will welcome the father of one of those players live here on Current Sports to voice his thoughts on those suspensions. You don't want to miss it, folks. And then on the back end of the show, we will, again, have a final look at the MSU and U of M game. We will welcome, actually, three of our Current Sports beat reporters and production assistants. They'll give their thoughts. We'll, of course, take your thoughts. Numerous ways you can do so. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I want to get your thoughts on the big game. What's the final score going to be? Pick a winner and then back up why you believe that team will win. Also, you can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream up and running. You can leave us a comment there. I'll do my best to read your comments live here on our airwaves. And you can also even join us via Twitter at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you've been living under a rock, there's a pretty big game taking place tomorrow. The Michigan State Spartans will head to Ann Arbor to take on number 7 ranked Michigan. The Spartans come into the Big House as 10-point underdogs. And like we've said all week, this will be the first ever night game between the Spartans and the Wolverines. It's also the first game in Ann Arbor since Blake O'Neal's fumbled snap.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Yeah, since that moment, Blake O'Neal's fumbled snap returned by Jalen Watts Jackson back in 2015. What a moment that was. Let's hope we can have some more drama tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that, possibly, in Ann Arbor tomorrow night as the Spartans and Wolverines get it on. U of M, 4-0 on the year. The Spartans are 3-1. First kick scheduled for 7:30 p.m. All right, the Michigan State field hockey team will host number 15 Maryland today. The 6-6 Spartans are 1-2 in conference play. Their three-game win streak was snapped by number 4 Penn State last Friday. Maryland will come into Ralph Young Field, 6-5 on the year. 2-2 in the Big Ten, coming fresh off a 3-2 double OT loss to Michigan. The game is scheduled to get underway at 4 p.m. The MSU women's soccer team heads out to Columbus to play the number 17 Buckeyes tonight before they play number 14 Penn State on Sunday. The Spartans captured their first conference victory last Sunday with a 3-2 win over Iowa that also snapped a 6-game losing streak. Tonight's game is scheduled for 5 p.m. After MSU is done with Ohio State, they will worry for a quick turnaround to visit Happy Valley and take on number 13 Penn State. That's the MSU women's soccer I'm talking about. Junior forward Emily Olgi leads the Nittany Lions with 10 points on 4 goals and 2 assists. Forward Charlotte Williams has 9 points for her, for second, I should say, on the team. Now, in their last meeting, the Michigan State women's soccer team upset then number 16 Penn State in East Lansing on senior day of last year. The game is scheduled to kick off around, it's already kicked off, 1 p.m. That's on Sunday. 1 p.m. on Sunday. So I'll look forward to that game later on this weekend. How about the MSU men's ice hockey team, which will play an exhibition tomorrow afternoon against Toronto, right here on campus at Munn Ice Arena. Of course, the Spartans just wrapped up the green and white game this week. Tomorrow's game will take place at 2 p.m., so fans have plenty of time to get their plans together for the big football game after that one is said and done. This is the final exhibition meeting until the Spartans kick off the 2017 season with a game at Bowling Green next weekend. This will be the second time that head coach Danton Cole leads his team out onto the ice, the first time being, of course, the green and white scrimmage. This is Danton Cole's first season after Tom Anassis stepped down at the end of last year. Cole takes over a team that finished last in the Big Ten but returns promising athletes. So it should be a good year. All right, after falling 3-1 to number 4 Nebraska on Wednesday night, the number 14 Spartans for, the, I should say, the MSU women's volleyball team. The number 14 Spartans looking to rebound on Saturday against number 7 Wisconsin at Jennison Fieldhouse for a rematch of Michigan State's 3-2 opening night win over the Badgers. Wisconsin. All right, MSU is now 11-3 on the year, 4-1 in the Big Ten Conference. The Badgers also 11-3, 2-3 in conference play. Sunday's match set for 3 p.m. Interesting news here concerning one of our local high school football teams. Lansing Catholic football coach Jim Ahern will bench 4 players for tonight's game against Ionia. It's a home game. Why, you ask? Well, these players have reportedly decided if they were to play tonight, they have planned on kneeling during the national anthem. That is why they were not playing. Those players are starting quarterback Michael Lynn III, Matthew Abdullah, Kabosh Richards, and Roger Williams. They were all informed that they would not be playing due to those individuals planning to protest during the national anthem and take a knee. The story first broke on Facebook, actually, by Michael Lynn's dad, Michael Lynn Jr. And then, of course, it was reported by numerous outlets, including the Lansing State Journal. Jim Ahern declined to comment. I reached out to Lansing Catholic's athletic director and actually received the letter that was sent to the parents. I'll be reading that live on the airwaves as we will invite Michael Lynn III's father, Michael Lynn Jr. So we'll dive into that story around the 1:30 mark again. Michael Lynn Jr. will join me live on the air to talk about the protest of his son, along with 3 other players who will not be playing tonight as Lansing Catholic welcomes Ionia. All right, the Red Wings, the Detroit Red Wings, opened up a new era at Little Caesars Arena last night with a win over the Minnesota Wild 4-2. Anthony Mantha opened up scoring in the second period, and Dylan Larkin added to Detroit's early lead with a goal of his own 23 seconds later. But the Wild weren't going down without a fight as Minnesota evened up the score at 2-2 in the third period. That's before the Henrik Zetterberg came to the rescue around the 7-minute mark. Martin Furk, he went on to add some insurance, and the Wings, yeah, they go on to win 4-2 at Little Caesars Arena. That's the way to open a season, right? All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Without further ado, let's start the show.
17th season currently here at Michigan State with 6 as an assistant and now 11 as a head coach. So this will be the 17th time playing against people down the road there. So
you kind of know guys on the side of the ball. So when you're on the field, it's kind of a little more trash talking, which is something we're not going to do this week. You know, we're kind of going to focus on just winning the game.
They have recruited me too, and I know a lot of people on their team. So just going against them is pretty good.
And that is how we start off this afternoon's current sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, October 6th, 2017. My birthday is tomorrow. Crazy, man. I'm getting older, but wiser. Older, but wiser, and much and better looking as the years go along.
All that's debatable,
well, right?
But older not. Older not.
Thank you, Isaac. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, birthday one day away, and I get to celebrate my birthday down at the Big House tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. kickoff, as the Michigan State Spartans will go at it against the Michigan Wolverines for the 110th time. But first time as a night game. First time as a primetime night game. Of course, we've been getting you locked and loaded for this matchup throughout this entire week. And, you know, we've taken your calls, some of your calls, and some of your predictions live here on the airwaves, and we encourage you to weigh in because this is your final day to do so, at least here on Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. But, you know, I want to start the show off by embracing the rivalry right now. And I want to get right to our first two guests on the show because we got a pretty cool segment here because I think this is the first time we've ever done this, Isaac, where we've had, you know, during rivalry week where we've had, I mean, we've done it in the past where we've invited, you know, former U of M players and former Michigan State players who have played in this rivalry matchup to talk about the rivalry. But never before have we done it where we've had, you know, a Wolverine, a former Wolverine player and a former Michigan State player on the air at the same time to not only break down the matchup, but to also embrace some trash talk. First time we've done this, Isaac, right?
I can't think of another. And that's the thing. Not only are we getting the two voices of experts here, we're getting the fan opinion too. We're getting real intense barbershop trash talk. I can't wait.
Exactly. So, you know, before we roll in the music, and I want to start by having these two brothers just go at it, talk some trash for about a minute. And you know what? We're going to have our listeners vote on who had the best trash talk rant. We're going to have these two young men kind of just rant about, you know, why their school is the best and why their school will pull out this matchup. And then we're going to have our listeners vote on this throughout the hour. And then we're going to kind of dive into the X's and O's. But I first want to start by welcoming them to the show. You guys know them very well. Our Current Sports listeners know them very well because they've been joining me throughout the last, what, you know, like 3 to 4 weeks now, talking about and breaking down Michigan State and U of M football. So right now, first, I want to welcome Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety, to the show, along with Alan Gant, former U of M linebacker, to Current Sports. Fellas, first off, how you guys doing? And thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Al.
Always good talking to you both. So this is how we're going to do this. Otis and Alan, you know, we've got an intro that we're going to play first. And, you know, it's just embracing the rivalry. You're going to hear from Coach D. You're going to hear from Michael Hart as well. And then there's going to be an instrumental that plays. And I'm going to give...
Oh, don't play that. Don't play that.
you know what I'm playing. You guys know what's coming, all right? And Isaac did a great job producing this. So after we play that and you hear the instrumental, I'll intro it and I'll throw to one of you guys. We're probably going to start off... Let's see here. We'll probably start with Otis. Since Michigan State is the visitor usually goes first, right?
You know,
guess first, right? So we'll have Otis, you know, give his trash talk spiel first, and then we'll go with Alan, and then we'll dive into the X's and O's. And again, we'll have our listeners vote on this as well. So I'm pretty excited about this. So to start off, Isaac, kick that funky music, dude.
I find a lot of the things that they are do amusing.
You have any
they need to check themselves sometimes. But just remember, pride comes before the fall.
I was just laughing. I thought it was funny. You know, they got excited. It's good. You know, sometimes you get your little brother excited when you're playing basketball and stuff. Let him get the lead. And then you just come back and take it back.
All right, here we go. I tell you what. So you know the order here. Again, we've got Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety, and Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker, on the phone right now to start off this segment. Before they break down the game, we're going to embrace trash talk right now. I want you guys to bring it. You know, we don't need any FCC violations, so keep it clean. We don't want any curse words thrown out, okay?
Man, I was just going to say, keeping it as PG as possible.
Yes, yeah, keep it PG, but still bring it, okay? I know that's kind of hard to do, but still bring it, all right, fellas? So, again, we're going to start with Otis. So, Otis, when you hear this, Isaac, play it one more time. the bell. We got a bell that we'll play. Play the bell real quick. So, Otis, when you hear that, the next time you hear that, just go, okay?
All right.
All right. We start with Otis Wiley. Otis, you are up. Here we go.
All right, all right, all right, all right. It's 2011. Last time you glue bellies beat the Buckeyes. Now let's talk about how Michigan State Spartans have had a chance to beat Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes. But I want to say Michigan Wolverines have focused on that rival versus focused on the in-state rival when we've owned it. And I took a picture on Facebook, actually on my Snapchat, took a picture of that 2008 game where we started to kick off that Royal Decade beating. I blame the little person, Mike Hart, for starting this. You guys have had the curse, the gift of the curse when it comes to this. Last year, it was a great game. You guys won. But think about the past 10 years. I talked about how Wolverines failed to show respect because the Wolverine Nation focused on the past. I said the late, great Muhammad Ali says, and quote, "A man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life." Now, you think about Michigan Wolverine fans, they're in the wilderness. They're in the woods. If you grew up as a Michigan State resident, you think about this game means a lot. We're talking about from the elementary backyard, playground, all the way up to corporate America. This means a lot for our state, great state. I took a poll for some fans that are local that send me some stuff for, like, some, I don't know if these are jokes, but this is not me, but quote, do the Wolverines need directions to Indy? Just, I'm just asking, you know, do you know how to get here to Indianapolis to get to the Big Ten championship past decade? That's all I got right now because I can't go hardcore like I want to go hardcore. But you out-of-staters, you have no clue what this means. My blood boils when I think about Wolverines, man. But all in all, the woodshed, we're bringing it to Ann Arbor, and it's going to be a royal beatdown. And look, my last thing. 2011, it was the New York Times. Jordan Kovacs is quoted, "They pounded us." Now, what kind of Wolverine a football player says they pounded us? Think about that, man. We are a blue-collar, hardcore, GM, bred, on the assembly line, ready to bull hit you right in the mouth. Let's go. Go green all the way, pound green, pound.
All right. Otis Wiley, you brought the heat, brother. You brought the heat. Great job. Great job. Again, we're asking our listeners out there to vote on who has the best trash talk spiel. That was, again, Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. And now we will hand the mic over to Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Alan, when you hear the bell, bring the heat, okay?
Gotcha.
Here we go.
Okay, let's take a step back real quick. I do understand I'm from Ohio, so I might not completely understand how much it means to the folks up in East Lansing. Just a little bit. But here's the thing. Mike Hart made a really, really, really good thing by calling you guys little brother. And actually, I call you guys a little sister because in my family, it's just me and my sister. And sometimes, you know, growing up in my childhood, I would constantly beat my sister at every single game. And even if I had a brother, I'm sure I'd beat him at every single game as well. But then, you know, finally, my sister became good at something. I let her win a few games playing basketball, playing horse. That's kind of like what we, you know, what we've done in the past. I mean, let's be real. The Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is a little bit more, I should say, important to us. I mean, if Mike Hart didn't say that, I mean, I don't think the rivalry would have even been relevant playing Michigan State. And, you know, it's good. I'm glad that you guys had some nice little runs for the past decade and all. But let's face it, we're Big Blue. Y'all little sister. There's no comparison. I mean, the people can't even get into Michigan, go to Michigan State. Let's just really look at that. Y'all look up to us. We had the most wins in college football. Yeah, you might have had a good, let's say maybe 7-8 years, whatever. And I know my last year, pure luck. Pure luck with the muff fumble, the muff punt and everything. But let's just really look at the overall picture. This Michigan State rivalry is always fun, but you guys are trying to make it relevant. So that's all I got to say. I'm excited about tomorrow. I can't wait to get little sister in the big house. and give him a good old-fashioned beatdown. That's all I got to say. I'm out. Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. And there it is. We have to do this every year now, Isaac. Our very first ever annual. I think I'm just going to say annual now. We're going to make this an annual thing. Our annual Michigan and Michigan State trash talk duel between Alan Gant and Otis Wiley. Fellas, you brought it. Alan, man, you really brought it, dude. I mean, the little sister comment, and you know, you come to Michigan State when you can't get into U of M. Oh man, you went personal there. Otis, you brought the heat as well, my man. That was fun. Great job, fellas.
Rose Bowl champs.
Otis is bringing up Rose Bowl champs. Who do you think won that battle? Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, gents, briefly before we get you out of here, and again, we appreciate you taking some time out to talk some trash, right? But I want to start by the final question for both of you guys due to time. I want to start with Otis. Otis, when looking at this game, I just want you to just finish the sentence. Michigan State wins if...
Michigan State wins if we establish that run game. And I think it's the momentum and the pace for the game is setting the tone, making sure that we're always in control of that time, possession. I mean, it always goes down to running game. Obviously, we're talking about special teams because we want to go back to that botch punt. So we think about that, and then we talk about our offense, our defense, just controlling the tempo, controlling the momentum. We know that Michigan's going to make plays. Michigan State is going to make plays, but it's all about in the trenches at the crunch time, who can make the solid play. That's Michigan State will win if we establish our run game.
Okay, give me a score, Otis.
You said what? I couldn't hear you.
Give me a score. Give me a final score.
Final score. I say 28-24.
Wow.
Michigan State.
High scoring game. Okay. All right, Alan, Michigan wins if.
You know, and I got to agree with Otis on this one. The run game is going to be very key, and it would take a lot of pressure off John O'Korn if we establish the run game. And kind of like Otis said, as far as the Michigan State side, you got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to control in the trenches. And the weather isn't looking too high as of right now. So definitely that's a major thing for Michigan to come out and win this game. And also, like Otis said as well, the special teams play. I mean, you look at what happened a couple years ago, you know, we played really well in the special teams. Outside the last play of the game, the special teams dominated for Michigan, dominated the whole entire game. I remember Blake O'Neal, he was punting the ball, probably his best game he's ever punted. And field position played a big part in that, especially if the weather's going to be raining and, you know, a little shaky. I think that special teams is going to play a very big role in this and have a very big impact as well. So, keys of the game, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, and make it simple for John O'Korn to be successful.
Final score, Alan.
Final score. I'm actually taking it a 24-14 win for the Wolverines.
Okay. Wolverines get it by 10. Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety. Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker. Fellas, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thanks for having me, Al. Hey, respect, Alex. Respect, man.
You, bro. I hear you. All right, guys. All right, great job. You guys kept it clean. That was the main thing with me. I was a little bit nervous. All right.
Hey, that Flint sound coming out, Al.
I know, right? You had to bite down real quick, man, because it could have got ugly here. This ain't HBO, all right?
Right.
All right, gents. Looking forward to tomorrow's game, and thank you guys so much. This is our first break. When we come back, we will talk some local high school football, but we're not breaking down any games here. We're talking about a story that is really... been the lead conversation of many roundtables this morning, and that concerns the Lansing Catholic High School football team actually deciding to suspend, well, I should say bench, four players for planning to kneel during the national anthem. We'll talk with the father of Michael Lynn III, Michael Lynn Jr. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Who's got it better than us?
Michigan.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Can you feel the excitement in the air? Yes, we are less than a day away now. Can you believe that? I mean, I can't believe it. We've been previewing this matchup, Isaac, throughout the entire week. And, you know, it feels like this day couldn't have come sooner. But now we're only a day away from U of M and Michigan State. We just had Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker, along with Otis Wiley, former Michigan State safety, on the show to talk some trash and break down why they believe their respective schools will pull out the dub. That was a great trash talk. If you had to vote, because again, we're asking our listeners to vote on who they believe had the best trash talk spiel. Both brought it. I will say that. Really tough decision, but who you're going with and why?
That is a tough decision. And I'm conflicted because Alan came in just with fire. He was fierce. He was so angry. I'm not sure if he planned it out to be that way,
right,
but you could tell that being the second guy, he got punched first, and he was so mad he punched back. Otis, on the other hand, was so eloquent. He provided examples of quotes from the New York Times and going further back than that. So, you know, I've got a thing for literature.
You do.
So I'm going to go with Otis. It's a close one. 12 right. rounds. 12 rounds. But I'm going with Otis just because of the start of the fight. I thought he won that. It was very much Mayweather-McGregor type material.
No,
I'd say
was
Otis
much more
played Mayweather.
This was much more entertaining than Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Yes,
okay?
It was. Yes, it was.
Much more entertaining. Just to balance it out, I thought, you know, because, man, I love Otis. And again, he had quotes and everything. Since you went with Otis, I got to go with Alan because
okay.
Alan went personal. He got all up in your business. He said the only reason you go to Michigan State is because you don't get in U of M. He went Dan Dockage on everybody,
he did.
Right? So that was fun. That was fun.
And what I'm happy about is that we did not have them in studio because those are two former football players.
Oh, Al, yeah.
You've been working out a lot recently.
I have.
But
right.
I'm still taking them, too, to get in between each other when it comes to that argument.
We would have definitely had to call security if they were probably in studio.
We would have.
I'm guessing. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're going to change the mood up a bit right now and get away from the rivalry talk just for a moment because I think it's very – this is a story that's important on so many levels, and I wanted to invite this man on the show to talk about this topic because it's getting a lot of traction on social media. I know the Lansing State Journal, Brian Callaway, you know, he wrote up an interesting synopsis of what exactly happened when it comes to the situation at Lansing Catholic and the football team. And right now we're going to invite the father of one of the players, one of the four players who have been benched for tonight's game, home football game for Lansing Catholic, as they will take on Ionia, after it was reported that these four players had planned to kneel during the national anthem. Michael Lynn III, who is the team's starting quarterback and one of three captains, he was informed on Thursday at practice by Cougars coach Jim Ahern that he would not play tonight because he planned to take a knee. This is what Lynn III had to say. This is coming from the Lansing State Journal article from Brian Callaway's reporting. Quote, I get they are a private school and they can do what they want. They are right, they can. But that doesn't make it humane and that does not make it okay that they can do that because that still is my right to peaceful protest. Not only am I peaceful protesting, but I'm protesting as a primary source. I am a young black man in America. I've had to deal with certain things that other people will never have to deal with. I said this in the meeting with the school. I said this feels like oppression. This feels like you are trying to silence me, and it feels like you are not giving me the right to do what Americans should be able to do. Well, in my opinion, that was an incredibly mature response, Isaac. And right now, and I want to acknowledge the other three players as well who have been benched due to planning to kneel during the national anthem for Lansing Catholic. Matthew Abdullah, Kabash Richards, and Rajay Williams, also benched, according to Lynn III. Right now, we have the father of Michael Lynn III, Michael Lynn Jr., on line one to talk about how this whole thing transpired. First off, Mike, thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us here on Current Sports. How are you?
I'm good. I could be better, but I'm good.
Mike, can you take me through how this discussion began and what led to your son, along with three other players, getting benched for tonight's game? How did this whole thing start?
The whole entire thing starting, or the benching aspect?
The whole entire thing. Take us from square one.
Okay, the whole thing started as Michael, he came to us last week Tuesday, it was before the Fatherville game, and presented to us that he had been, it felt in his heart he needed to do something, that he wanted to do something, and he wanted to make a statement on everything that's been going on in the world, as well as what's going on with him in his own life and his own life in school. And he presented this, that he wanted to do this situation, that he wanted to take a knee during the game at Fowlerville. At that point in time, you know, we as parents had to take a lot of things into consideration and try to talk to him through the process of, you know, what could possibly happen, the ramifications it could be, because we see all over the world today so much hate and so much dissension and so much rhetoric behind the kneeling that is just simply untrue. And the fact that he doesn't always be able to, you know, may not always be able to get his voice across was a concern of ours. So we expressed that to him and gave him the best possible circumstance of discipline that we could understand could happen. And he decided that he was willing to take those consequences. At that point in time, the school contacted him Friday while he was in school. He had the intention to go and talk to Coach Ahern and let Coach Ahern know he had no intention on slamming this on him during the anthem. He definitely wanted to know, he wanted the school to know what his intentions were. So he went and the school actually ended up contacting him through a source that they said they got from Fowlerville, that there would be, what I heard quoted was, all hell will break loose if these kids take a knee, which I don't understand how they knew that that was going to happen, because nobody but us family knew about it. But so the school actually ended up getting him in the office around 2:00 before he got a chance to talk to them, mm-hmm. and expressed their concerns for the safety. And Mr. Walcott expressed that, you know, he didn't have an issue with him taking a knee. He wanted him to know that he was asking him not to, but not telling him he couldn't. He was telling Michael that he had no intentions on disciplining him whatsoever if he did take a knee, but respectfully as a man, he wished that he would not do that at Fowlerville given the safety aspect. Mr. Walcott expressed to us as a family Friday night when we seen him how intellectual and how well-spoken he thought Michael was, and that he understood that Michael had a very good understanding of what he was doing, why he was doing it, and he was so proud of his articulation on the subject. So he did decide not to take a knee Friday in respect to his team and in respect to all of us fans and everybody that was in Fowlerville, given the hostile environment it possibly could be. And we were reassured, he was, as well as the team was reassured, that they'd be given a platform at the Ionia football game for homecoming. That was on Friday. Another incident happened on Friday where a racial slur was made to Michael during the game, and it was not taken account. It was not being heard. It was not being understood. I think Michael at that point really had it in his heart at that point that this had to happen for him.
And Mike, sorry to interject. I'm sorry to interject real quick, Mike. That racial slur, who did that come from? Was that a member of the team? Was that coming from the crowd?
It was a player on the opposite team.
Opposite team made a racial slur. Okay.
And it was right about the time that we got the unsportsmanlike conduct complaint, or excuse me, flag that came out. It was that time right then. So that wasn't dealt with correctly, and he's been through a lot of processes and a lot of situations in these rural areas playing football that this thing happens all the time on the field. And that's a whole other issue, but that's part of the issue that he's expressing. You know, when he says that he's a primary source, it's real. And I'm sure you know as a black and as African-American, it obviously is something we deal with. So Monday, the team called the meeting in order to try to bring unity to the situation and understand each other. They had an excellent conversation. The coaches all had good conversation with the team. Everybody was in agreement that something probably should be done. They didn't understand exactly what. After the hour and a half conversation that they had, they decided that what they would do was make a written statement that Michael would read out to the entire crowd Friday during the homecoming game, and that the boys that wanted to take a knee would. The other boys would lock arms and place their hand on the guys that took a knee. And they wanted to put all the boys mingled in the crowd so there wasn't a stack of kids on the end of the line with a knee. They wanted a knee, you know, four or five guys and then a knee and then four or five guys and then a knee if that's how it was going to play out. Mm-hmm. At that point, they had, I think, 8 to 10 guys that were going to actually take a knee at that point. So they all came in agreement. Michael came home. He had this great story about how his team united and they understood each other's differences and they were all in agreement that they were going to respect each other's opinions. And that they were going to move forward as a team and as one unit. And it almost brought tears in my eyes because when he told me he wanted to take a knee, I was very, very worried that that would be taken the wrong way and so on and so forth. So our kind of direction in that was that, you know, let's think of it all. So when the school came back in support, we were really surprised. We were really excited about that aspect. Cut forward to Wednesday, we got a meeting or a call from Mr. Maloney, who is the president, who called us in to express to us that their intent was to not have anybody on the field take a knee. They wanted Michael to speak out about racial injustices and his own plight and the fact that he's an African-American. And at that point, I had to shut that down. I just felt that him talking in front of that crowd that may or may not want to listen to his plight was not going to be a productive situation for us, the family, or him. I kind of felt it was a martyr situation. I didn't want him to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So the agreement, the thing kept on to, well, what can we do? You know, we can't have him take a knee, so what else can we do? The conversation continued on, and we were in an agreement that us as parents were not going to force Michael to stand for the national anthem. Because I won't be the one to take his civil rights if they wanted to. So we wouldn't force him to do that. But if he decided he didn't want to, we were all in agreement that that probably, you know, would be a good thing. So at the end of that conversation, he pretty much stated to us that the steps that they take for a kid that's not compliant with their expectations is this. We walk with the student and a Christian charity to make sure that they can come to be a part of our core values and our expectations. If at that point they cannot, we bring the parents in to speak with them. If we can't get the parents to understand that this needs to change, that they need to comply, then we go to the third step, which is, and this is in their handbook, which is that they decide that at that point in time, they don't believe that the kid is a good fit for the school, which would mean ultimately expulsion. And that question was raised and asked a couple times, is that what this means? Are we at that point, being that you've already took the walk with him, and now we're here? Are we at the point that if he takes a knee, this is going to be it? And they wouldn't give an unequivocal answer to that. Mm-hmm. It was very implied that that would be it, but that wasn't. They wouldn't give that exactly. So the comments that were made that possible expulsion, you know, disciplinary for sure, we knew. They kept telling us that. Then later on Wednesday night, I hope, if I'm not being long-winded and you need time, let me know.
No, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, man.
Okay. Later on that Wednesday night, they had a parent meeting for all varsity players, an emergency player meeting. They expressed to it that they got in touch with the board of trustees and that they had come up with an agreement on what was going to happen Friday night and wanted us all to come in. So 8 o'clock, we went in there, we sat, and listen to Mr. Maloney again, say the same thing that he told us in the room, which is more or less a, you know, a diplomatic way of stressing to us that this is going to be the way or the highway. In my opinion, that's kind of how it came off. It was not a town hall meeting. It was very expressly pointed that we were not to be speaking out. This is not a meeting for people's opinions. This is what Lansing Catholic and the Diocese of Lansing had come to the conclusion that, and this is what he said. He said he walked me through the same process, the one first step, second step, third step, and at that point, you know, so on and so forth. So at that point, one of the mothers, who's Matthew Abdullah's mother, spoke up, and the conversation was very directed at Michael as if he was the culprit in all of this, and he was kind of a antagonistic one, I guess, is kind of how I felt, instigator. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case. These boys had come together. They figured it out. These boys figured it out as a team. The coaches figured it out. The administration, as far as the AD, the principal figured it out. They had this thing set. And they had a voice that they felt like they haven't had since they've been here. And it got snatched from an hour with no explanation other than this is just how things are going to be. So one of the mothers spoke up. Another mother spoke up on that fact and wanted more clarification. My wife spoke up on the fact that we wanted more clarification on what the discipline could possibly be. The discipline aspect of it was left in the air, and it was very vague on what it could possibly be. So we didn't know. And at that point, we left the house, left that building under the understanding that I knew my son had the intent to take a knee. So at that point, I had to weigh out the options that they gave us for discipline, and that's what I came up with from what I was told from Mr. Maloney. So we tried to contact the school several times to try to get more clarification on what the discipline could be.
Right.
Today we have update on that. We'll go to yesterday's football practice, which is our walkthrough, where they decide, you know, they go through their game plan and so on and so forth. And I came up to practice, as I do a lot, and watched practice. And Michael came over to me and told me that they had a conversation again, and that the coach asked, and I want to be very clear with Coach Ahern. His point and his stance on this has been strictly football, and I understand that aspect that he's a football coach and that's his thing, and I respect that from him. But this situation that came about today was, or excuse me, Thursday was, he asked the kids to stand. They were going to take a knee Friday to stand, and then when they did, he said, okay, I need to know who's not going to be. I have to prepare, and I understand this from a football coaching aspect. I coached at Sexton. So I understand the mindset of I need to be prepared for what I have and what I'm going to have, because he didn't know the consequences of what they would be either.
Okay.
So at that point in time is when they were benched. They were.
Who made that decision, Mike? Was that?
It was never clearly stated the kids were benched. I want to make that
positive. So we don't know who exactly made the call. If it was Coach Ahern, or was it, if it was, you know, athletic director, you know, Brian Wolcott.
No.
We don't know who made the final call.
Up until today, there was no final call.
Okay.
So what I'm expressing to you is that I think that Coach Ahern, in his defense, was preparing for a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stressed that he wanted to make sure he understood who wasn't going to be here and who's not, is the people who were convicted in their heart to take a knee. He didn't know what the administration was going to do. So at that point in time, I think Coach Ahern was thinking from a 45-year coach that I need to make sure I'm preparing my whole team, whatever whole team I have. So at that point in time, unintentionally, he benched the kids, if that makes sense. So at that point in time, those kids were no longer a process in the first string, second string, offense and defense, or whatever the case is. They were set aside. So
okay.
After that fact, no communication was made. Nobody contacted to say what they're going to do, so on and so forth. So the parents of all four of us, which are all here actually right now, all four of us parents came together today and said, we need to find out what's going on with our kids. I mean, our kids went to school today with no impression of what's going on. I mean, if you've seen the media on this and the Facebook post and all the hatred and all the negative things that are going on, I mean, I just can't imagine the strength these boys have to go through this on their own in that school at that point in time. But they did. So we contacted the school. We actually went up there and asked them if they could give us clarity on what the disciplinary action would be. They told us to come back around noon, that they have an answer for us. This was about 10 o'clock. We came back. We sat down with Mr. Walcott and Mr. Moore, the principal and the athletic director, and the parents. And he expressed to us their point and their statement on the issue of discipline was this. He said, anybody that responds with a knee tonight, takes a knee tonight, will not start the football game. So that was their conclusion. After this whole thing, I guess, you know, I can say that that was what they came up with for a disciplinary action.
Okay.
There's not going to be any expulsion. There's not going to be any suspensions. The kids will not start that game. They will be eligible to play after they don't start. So I don't know how he didn't elaborate on how long that process will be. I guess given that all four of these boys are starters, I'd imagine that it wouldn't be that long. So that's where we're at now with it. I want to clear the air on some things. I didn't want the rhetoric to get out of hand that.
Right, and we only have Mike. If you could make it brief, we got about 2 minutes. And I also want to know before you do clarify what you need to clarify. Does Michael Kabash and Rajay, do they plan on protesting further as the year goes along? Still taking a knee?
You know, I think I don't know that they know exactly how long they plan to do this or. Even at this point, you know, you guys may come to the – we don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't really want to comment on that.
Okay.
But I think that they do want to be involved very heavily in the movement, and they want to make difference, and they want to make change for themselves in Lansing Catholic High School because there's issues. There's issues in the city. There's issues with the people who can't understand what this is about and can't look past the issue, you know, the thought processes that they have. So I think they want to make change in that.
Right. I love that. Okay. And what do you need to clarify? What do you want to clarify, Mike?
I want to clarify that – they're standing united together in whatever response that they have to this. They have no intention whatsoever, and this has been stated clearly from more than one unit of people, to in any way disrespect our veterans, our troops, you know, or anybody that has ever served. All these kids have family members that are veterans and troops and so on and so forth. So, or any of our law enforcement, firefighters, or you know, civil service workers. So I just want to make that very clear. That's not the intent whatsoever. So That narrative has to come off the table in this current situation.
And I think
all
that is...
All love and respect to all those guys, all love and respect to you guys and all the players on the team. And all I can say is I hope we get a win tonight.
All right. Michael Lynn Jr., father of Lansing Catholic quarterback Michael Lynn III. Mike, thank you so much for coming on and clearing the airwaves when it comes to this topic. And at least from my perspective, I find it incredibly admirable what your son, along with the three other players who have decided to take this stand, I find it completely admirable to be that young in high school and to take a stand and to articulate, you know, that kind of reasoning behind why you are taking a knee during a national anthem. Mike, along with those other three players, are incredibly mature beyond their years. I love it. Mike, thank you so much.
I agree. Thank you very much, Al.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will give you our final thoughts and predictions on the big game tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. kickoff between the Michigan State Spartans and Michigan Wolverines. We will welcome to the show three of our current sports PAs and reporters to weigh in. That will put a bow on this week in current sports. We'll be right back, though.
This is a life moment for a lot of our players. It's a chance to move our program forward. The most important thing, though, when we come into this football game, I think, is to play loose, be ourselves, have fun at this moment, and push it, you know, and chase it a little bit.
Go green.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Michael Lynn Jr., father of Michael Lynn III, starting quarterback of Lansing Catholic's football team, as he talked about how Michael, along with three other players, have decided to take a knee during the national anthem. And in doing so, the school has decided to bench all three players, a story that's getting a lot of headway. Matthew Abdullah, Kabash Richards, and Rajay Williams are the other three players in conjunction with Michael that have decided to take the stand. You heard what Michael Lynn Jr. had to say, Michael Lynn III's father. Reaction to that, Isaac?
Yeah, Al, I'm a Catholic. So for a school, a Catholic school to act like this, I'm disgusted personally. I think that Catholics squawk and squabble so much about being persecuted themselves that when somebody else is, it's your job to respect that and to kneel with them, stand with them, but be by their side. And I'm disgusted by the actions of Lansing Catholic.
Yeah, I am as well. And I'll elaborate more on that on Monday. We'll be at Lansing Catholic High School for tonight's game, and we'll have a 2-minute drill report coming at you via Facebook.com/currentsports later on tonight. Right now, we have live in studio Mike Epps. We have Davey Siegel, as well as Casey Harrison. They're live here in Studio West to give their thoughts and predictions on tomorrow night's big rivalry matchup between the Michigan State Spartans and the Michigan Wolverines. Fellas, I want you to give me a final score. Again, of course, that score will reveal a winner. No one's predicting a tie, right? It's impossible, right? But back up why you think that team will win as well. We'll start with Mike and go down the line. Mike?
Oh, yeah. There's no better hype-up than what we got earlier in the show. There's no better hype-up. But these two defenses, I think, are really going to shine tonight for this game. I'm thinking 20-13 Michigan. Michigan's just, I mean, they have that talent on defense. I think Brian Lewerke is going to see the same kind of athletes on defense that he saw in the Notre Dame game. Fast, athletic, and I don't think Lewerke's going to be able to do too much. So I think 20-13 Michigan comes out on top.
Okay, Davey.
I'm going to go a similar score and a similar result. I think Michigan's going to come out on top 17-10. I think that the weather forecast right now is calling for a little bit of rain. I think it's going to be a very, very sloppy game. And
Isaac, bring your poncho.
Of the game.
Bring your poncho. Davey says it's going to rain.
I got you.
Bring your poncho.
If they let me bring my poncho in, I'll bring it. I don't think they'll let you bring umbrellas. But, I mean, right. I think the running game is going to have to be established from both teams.
Okay.
And I think special teams also might come to play a big factor. Not the Blake O'Neal factor. You never
okay.
know.
Right.
But I'll go Michigan 17-10 in a sloppy game, a real close game as well.
Okay. Michigan by a touchdown. Casey, we got 30 seconds. Who you got and why?
I've got Michigan winning this game. I got 13-6. It's going to
wow,
be
a
low-scoring
game.
It's
okay.
going to be a really low-scoring game, a battle of the defenses. Whoever dominates the run game is going to win this game, whoever limits turnovers, obviously. But I think it's Michigan's game to win for a number of reasons, especially that defense. It's a nationally ranked defense, and I just think that they have too much pressure on Lewerke and the receiving core.
Okay, you're all three have gone with Michigan. I'm going with Michigan as well. 17-14, Isaac. I won't back it up. We got 20 seconds. Who you got and why?
20-13, Michigan. It's that defense and the kicking
wow.
game.
Wow. I should just go with Michigan State to be a devil's advocate, huh? I'm going with Michigan, though. All right. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday, folks. You can catch a 2-minute drill report from the big game later on around midnight, probably Saturday night. We'll see you Monday, folks, and be easy, people.